Alright, Jabosai, good morning. We're beginning. Today's daf is daf Lamed Gimel, and we are starting in Mirza Hashem from the Mishnah. I want to thank Rabbi Richter for giving the shiur yesterday. Also, the refreshments this morning are sponsored by the Shainman family in honor of the birth and the bris of their son Moshe. We hope that in Mirza Hashem, parents will be zocha to see him grow up to be an incredible Ben Torah. Beautiful Yiddish Anachas for many years to come. Alright, we'll say, so let's begin. Mishnah, it's beautiful, beautiful daf ahead of us today. So again, still continuing on the topic of Shvuas Ha'idus, which remember again, deals with the fact that if I feel, or I know, quote unquote, that someone has testimony on my behalf, I can force them, and they claim that they don't know any testimony on my behalf, I could force them to swear that they don't have any testimony on my behalf. So the Mishnah continues on that same theme. Mashpia ani aleichem im lo savo v'sa'iduni shiyesh li bi'ad ploni pikadon u'tshumes yad. So we'll say, here's the following case. I show up, and I say, Reuven and Shimon, I hereby make you take an oath that you should come and testify on my behalf that I lent money to a third party, right? There is money of mine that, for example, a pikadon means a deposit, shomes yad is a loan, gezel, or Reuven, someone else stole something from me, aveda, there's a lost object in someone else's hand. So I come over to these individuals and I say, you have an obligation to come to Beis Din and testify on my behalf that my property is in the possession of this other individual. And what happens? The witnesses, we'll call them Reuven and Shimon, say, Shvua, she'ein anu yodin l'cha edus. And I will say, what happens? They swear, we have absolutely no knowledge of what you're talking about. And I will say, interestingly enough, the way that this case reads is as follows. I'm coming over to these witnesses, and I'm saying, well, actually, let's keep it easy. I'm calling them A and B. Say, A and B, you know that I have the following items in the possession of Reuven. What are the following items? I gave him a pikadon. I left him money. I lent him money. He stole something from me. He found one of my objects. And I tell them, you guys have knowledge about all of these things. Come to Beis Din and testify on my behalf. What do? They swear, Shavoshin, under Yodin L'cha'edos. We have no knowledge of anything you're talking about. So we'll say, what's the halacha? Now it turns out that they're lying. They have knowledge about each of these things. So what's the halacha? In chayavin ela achos. We'll say the halacha is they're only chayiv for one false oath. Even though at the end of the day, they swore falsely regarding multiple items, they're only chayiv for one false oath. And the reason for that is because they did not take an item-specific shvua. They just said, shvua shein she'in anu yodin l'cha'edus. However, shvua she'in anu yodin she'esh l'cha b'yadi ploni, she'esh l'cha b'yad ploni, pikadon, shumas yad, gezel, aveda, chayiv an akalachas v'achas. We'll say, on the other hand, if they were to take an item-specific shvua, and they were to say, we swear that we have no knowledge, that you have a pikadon, a chomes yad, gezel, aveda. In other words, they essentially go ahead and specify each and every item over which or for which supposedly they have no knowledge. And then it turns out that what? That they're lying. So we'll say the halach is chayav ma'kolachas v'achos. They are chayav ultimately again for a false oath, for a shvuas ha'idos, for each of these items. Next. Mashpia ani aleichem im lo savo v'sa'idu shiyesh li bi'aploni pikadon chitin u'sa'orin v'kusmin. So we'll say this seems to be a similar, exact same case. We'll discuss ultimately again why the Mishnah needs to state both of these cases, but here's the case. I come over to Reuven and Shimon. I say, Reuven and Shimon, I hereby go, you guys know that you guys know testimony on my behalf that I went ahead and I deposited with Reuven, chitin, which is wheat, sorin is barley, kusmin is spelt. So you know I deposited all of these items with Ploni. And what happens? They say, Shvua, she'in anu yodin l'cha edus. And what do they claim? They claim we have absolutely no idea what you're talking about. So we'll say, it turns out that what? Remember all of these cases where after they swear they know nothing, what ends up happening? They know something. So they're lying. What's the halacha? Ein chayavin ela achos. We'll say the halacha is they're only chayav ultimately again once. Only chayav once. Even though again, their kfira, even though, again, at the end of the day, their denial is regarding multiple items, because they were not item-specific in their shvua, therefore they're only going to be chayiv once. On the other hand, shvua, she'in anu yodin lecha edus, she'esh lecha bi'at ploni, chitin, usa'orin v'kosmin, chayavin al kalachas v'achas. I will say, on the other hand, if they go ahead and they make an item-specific shvua, they say, we swear, we have no knowledge of the wheat, or of the spelt, or of the barley that you have in the hands of Ploni, and then it turns out that they are lying, they will be chayiv, ultimately, again, a separate liability, a separate shvua for each of these items. So we'll say, see the theme over here. The theme over here is, if I come to two witnesses and I say to them, you have knowledge about the following things, A, B, C, D, and E. And they say, we have no idea what you're talking about, and it turns out that they're lying. Their liability, they're ultimately chayiv one shvua sa'idus, for one false shvua sa'idus. On the other hand, if they respond in kind, we have no knowledge about A, B, C, D, and E, we essentially look at each of those items as a separate denial, and each separate denial goes ahead and generates a separate obligation for the false shvua. Good, says the Gemara. Next. Mashbiani aleichem. We'll say these are all interesting cases. Mashbiani aleichem. In lo savo v'saiduni, shiyeshli biat ploni. Now, we'll say, now we're going to get into a separate discussion about, we'll see cases, well, let's see it inside. Mashbiani aleichem. So we'll say, listen to this. So I go over to Reuben and Shimon and say, Reuben and Shimon, you know testimony on my behalf. I hereby adjure you. I hereby impose a shvua upon you. If you do not come and testify in my behalf, that's what? That I have, be upholding, that I have in the hands of so-and-so, nezek, right? Nezek means he damaged me, he owes me damages. Chatzi nezek, remember again, we learned about chatzi nezek in our Baba Kama days, half damages. Tashlume kefal, kefal means the double payment when an item is stolen. Tashlumi arba v'chamisha, the 4 and 5 time penalty payment, ultimately, again, if you steal an ox or a sheep, and then you steal it, slaughter it, and sell it. Visha anas ish ploni es biti. Or I say to the witnesses, you know that Reuven violated my daughter, and he goes ahead and he owes me the fine for violating my daughter. Upita os biti, or he owes me the fine for seducing my daughter. Visheikhani bini. Well, so that's interesting here. What sheikhani bini? This is the case where I claim my son hit me. My son hit me. Now, what's the halacha? If you look at Rashi for just a moment, Rashi says, "V'sheikani bini." Rashi says, "Haka she'in b'chabura." I will say this would be talking about an injury that did not leave a wound. That did not leave a wound. What does this mean? She'no chayv alav misa. I will say shamake aviv. So listen to this. Shamake aviv eino chayv ela imkin asa b'chabura. I will say if a son hits his father, if a child hits a parent, there is a chiyuv misa for striking a parent. However, that is only true if you create a chabura, if you create an injury. What happens if a child strikes a parent and there is no chabura, there is no injury? So we'll say, what's the halacha in that case? Well, we'll discuss this more in the Gemara. The halacha is that ultimately there's a chiyuv mamon. Rashi says over here, v'chayvan deleka misa, ika mamon deboshes. This is very interesting. See, I will say, if I go ahead and a person hits their parents, chas v'shalom, and doesn't cause a chabura, doesn't cause an injury. So again, if they cause an injury, it's a chiyuv misa. If there's not an injury, then what? Not a chabura, which was a chabura means like an observable wound. Then what? Then there's a chiyuv mamon. Now, interestingly enough, how would you gauge mamon in that case? So Rashi seems to say it's a din in boshas, a din in humiliation. That's how we judge the financial obligation that the child has towards the parent. So I'm coming to witnesses and I say, you know testimony on my behalf that my son hit me and injured me. And we'll say, now this next case is very interesting. My friend went ahead and injured me. Or he set my field on fire on Yom Kippur. So we'll say, so we'll discuss these cases in greater depth. But the idea is, I'm coming to the witnesses, and I say, you guys know testimony on my behalf regarding any of these particular items. Regarding these, and what's the halacha? They deny knowledge about these particular items. What's the halacha? Hare elu chayovin. ultimately again, if they deny it and it turns out that they're lying, they're chayiv ultimately again for shvua seidus. Fine. So we'll say the first topic, the Gemara is going to go a little bit out of order because we have a number of things over here, a number of different principles. Principle number one seems to be this idea that if I come to witnesses and I tell them, you have testimony on my behalf about A, B, C, D, and E, so, and then they swear that they don't, their level of liability is dependent on their denial. If they make a general denial, they'll only be chayiv once. If they make an item-specific denial, they'll be chayiv ultimately again for each and every individual denial, a separate shvua sa'idus. That's principle number one. We'll say principle number two, which we're going to discuss, seems to be regarding the denial of knas. Remember, again, in halacha, we have two different types of monetary payments. There's what's called knas and mammon. How do you know there's seen a knas, a mammon penalty payment, and a monetary payment? How do you know the difference? Good. Knas is fixed, meaning knas is a monetary payment that has absolutely nothing to do. By the way, Seth saved you all. Now put down the rug lock for just a second. I will say, come on. Right, so remember, the Gemara says that we've learned this before. Knas means any financial payment that is not related to the particular damages or anything else. It's fixed. That's called the knas. Mammon is where somehow the repayment is related to the damage or the injury inflicted. Category, discussion number two in the Mishnah is about kfiras eidos in a case of knas. What happens if I go over to witnesses, I say, you know about a knas penalty that's owed to me, they deny that. Is a denial of knowledge about a knas claim, does that result in a kfiras eidos or not? We'll see that. And we'll see topic number three gets back to Kimli Bidrabimine. But we're going to start with Knas. Iboilu, Mashpia, let's listen to this. Says the Gemara, Mashpia Ede Knas Mahu. We'll say, what happens if at the end of the day, I go over to witnesses and I say, witness, Reuven Shimon, right? You know testimony that Reuven owes me a penalty payment. So, whatever the penalty payment might be, Kefel is a penalty payment, Arba V'Chamisha is a penalty payment, if the payment for if a man violates another man's daughter or seduces her, those are penalty payments. So let's say if I go over to witnesses and I say, you know, you have knowledge about a penalty payment that is owed to me. They go ahead and they say, we have no knowledge about this. And it turns out that they're lying. Is there liability on their behalf for their denial about knowledge regarding knas? Say, bailo, mashpia edi knas mahu. We'll say, what's the halacha? If I administer a shvua sa'idos upon witnesses who supposedly have knowledge about a knas penalty that I am entitled to, what's the halacha? And it turns out that they're lying. Is there liability for their denial about knowledge regarding a knas obligation? So the Gemara says, "Leave it to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, lo tibay lucha." So Chinta Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, but say this is not a kasha. Why? Because what does he say? The Amar Yavo Edim V'Yaidu. But say, look at Rashi in just a moment. Yavo Edim V'Yaidu, or according to Rashi, Yaidu V'Yischayev V'Einon Niftar B'Hodar Rishona. So we'll say, listen to this. We know when it comes to Knas, there's a very interesting principle, which is Mode B'Knas Potter. Which I will say, if let's say again, I do something that obligates me in a knas payment, in a penalty payment, and I moda, I admit my obligation, then the halacha is I am potter. Here's the interesting discussion. Let's say I go ahead and I admit that I'm liable to a knas penalty, and after my admission, what happens? What happens? Witnesses show up. Edim show up. So does the arrival of witnesses obligate me? Or do we say, no, once I was moda, case closed, I'm done. So we'll say this in and of itself, as we're going to see, is a machlokes in Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, and the Rabban. Now look at Rashi. Rashi says, Yavo Eidim Yaidu, V'Yischayev Ve'eno Niftar Ba'odar Rishona. We'll say Rabbi Elazar is the one who says that if witnesses show up, even after I admit the knas penalty, I am still going to be chayed. V'chi amrina moda b'knas patur dinafkala me'asher yashir. Now look in practice, me'asher yashatzmo. Because when do we say that moda b'knas patur? That's only hanimili hecha de lo asu edim. Lo mishalem knas apume didei. We'll say, so if there are no witnesses and I admit my knas, then ultimately again, I will be potter. Aval asu sahadi basar hachi mishalem. So we'll say, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, who says that the presence of witnesses will obligate me in a knas, even if I admitted it. So we'll say, so there's not a shayla. Because in that case over here, if I go over to Reuven and Shimon, and I say, Reuven, Shimon, you have knowledge about a knas penalty that is owed to me. And they go out and they say, we have no idea what you're talking about. And then it turns out that they're lying. Of course they're going to be chayiv for lying by Rav Oseh, because they deprived me of the ability to go ahead and collect the knas penalty. But no, they didn't. Because if the person who owed me the knas would have been modeh, then what? He would have been patur. Says Rav Oseh, that's not true. Because when you have witnesses, even if he admitted the knas, when the witnesses show up, he once again becomes liable. So once I quote Rav Oseh, Rav Oseh, it's clear that the denial of the witnesses cost me money, and therefore, again, halacha lemaisa, they would be chayv even in the case of knas. Kiti by the let's see it. We'll see it once more in just a moment. Kiti by the say, when does the kasha come up? Aliba de rabbanan da amri modeh b'knas va'achar kach bo edim pater. We'll say, where does the shayla come up? The shayla comes up at the end of the day by the rabbanan, because rabbanan hold modeh b'knas pater, that when you admit your liability to a knas, once you admit it to both sides, then what? You're pater. And even if witnesses subsequently come, you're still what? You're still pater. So we'll say, listen to this. See what's happening over here? The shayla is, if I go over to Reuben and Shimon, I say, Reuben and Shimon, you have testimony. You know information on my behalf. Let's keep it easy. Reuven owes me kefil. Reuven owes me a double payment. Actually, that's not a good example. Reuven, a good pure knas. Good pure knas. All right, whatever it is. So you have information that Reuven owes me a good pure. He owes me knas. He owes me a penalty payment. What happens? I'll say, the witnesses say, we have no idea what you're talking about. It turns out that what? They're lying. They do have knowledge. We'll say the shaila is, are they liable? So remember, the only time witnesses will be liable for a shvua sa'idus is when Rabbi Hussein, is if they cost me money. So the shaila is, in a case of knas, can we claim that their denial cost me money? So the Gemara says, it depends. According to the Rabbanan who say, modeh b'knas pater, that if the person who was liable to the knas could have admitted the knas, and even had the witnesses showed up afterwards, their testimony would not have changed the fact that he would be pater, then one can make the cogent argument that the witnesses didn't cost me anything through their denial. But according to the Rabbanon, that's what? That if witnesses show up, even if the person who owed me the knas went ahead and admitted the knas, if witnesses subsequently showed up, he would be chayiv, then enochinami, their denial cost me money. So therefore the Gemara says, whether or not Edim, who denied knowledge about the knas, are chayiv for the denial of their testimony, depends on the machlokas of Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanon. So says the Gemara, Rabbanon the Hasim kiman sfir lehu. Rabbi say, who did the Rabbanon ultimately hold like? If you're going to say that ultimately again, the Holy Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon over here, Haka Amar, so he said, we'll say, remember again, he holds that something ultimately again that would cause, so you've seen this concept before, which is something that ultimately again could cause financial obligation, has the status of money itself. Ella, Kirabban of the Haka. Rather, Rabbi say, you have to say that they were holding the Rabbanon ultimately from here. Do amri davar agoni lamamon lav kemamon dami. So says the Gemara, my will be the halacha kevan di ilumode miftar. So on one hand, I can see like this, since at the end of the day, if the person who owed me the knas would be modeh to the knas, he would become pater. If that's the case, lav mamona kakafarle. Then I'm going to say, ultimately, since the person who owes the knas has the ability ultimately to just make the entire obligation disappear simply through his own admission, then at the end of the day, the witnesses are not denying testimony regarding a financial matter. Since at the end of the day, the obligation to pay could just simply evaporate with the admission of the claimant. The claimant, is that the right term? The person who owes the money? Yeah, the claimant. So therefore again, halacha lemaisa, they're not denying knowledge about a monetary claim. O Dilma, hashta mihala odi. But on the other hand, at the time when the witnesses said, Silber, we have no information regarding this case for you, at that point, I will say the claimant, the person who owed me the knas, did not yet admit to it. So we'll say at the end of the day, mamon is still in play, to which the Gemara says, Tashma. So we'll say, see, here's the Shaila. So we understand the Shaila, we're trying to figure out, up until now, we've been speaking about cases of mamon, monetary claims. Here I'm coming to witnesses, I say, you have testimony for me regarding regarding a knas claim. We will say they deny their knowledge. They deny they have any knowledge regarding this. Is denial of knowledge of a knas claim ultimately the equivalent of denying mammon or not? So it says the Gemara Tashma, Mashpiyani Aleichem, Imlo Savao Visaiduni Shiesh the Biat Ploni Nezek Vichatzi Nezek. Oh, the Bible says, so says the Gemara, we can prove this from our Mishnah. What was the second case in the, or what was the first case in this topic in the Mishnah? I come over to Reuven and Shimon. I say, Reuven and Shimon, you have testimony that what? That Levi owes me Nezek damages or Chatzi Nezek or half damages. Rabosai, Chatzi Nezek, Knasu. You both remember Chatzi Nezek from our Baba Kama days. Chatzi Nezek, half damages, is a Knas. Excuse me. Chatzi Nezek, Rabosai, is not a financial payment. Chatzi Nezek is a penalty payment. Ultimately, again, the Chatzi Nezek, Knasu. So, which the Gemara says, so you see over here from the Mishnah that Shvua Sa'idos goes ahead and applies even by a case of Knas. To which the Gemara says, not necessarily command Amar, Palganiska Mamona. This Mishnah could be reflecting, we'll say, the opinion that says that what? That Chatzi Nezek is Mar. We'll say, we have this Machlog is back in Baba Kama. Is Chatzi Nezek Nas? Is Chatzi Nezek Mamon? That in and of itself is a fundamental Machlog, yes. Hani Chalamando Amar, Palganiska Mamona. So that's fine, according to Mandar, who says that Chatzi Nezek is Mamon. Elo Lamando Amar Knasa Ma'ikalame Mar. But we'll say, so how does the opinion who holds that Chatzi Nezek is a Knas? How does he learn the Mishnah? Excuse me. Bechatzi Nezek Tzroros. We'll say you'll have to say that it's what? It's the case of Chatzi Nezek Tzroros. We'll say, what's the case of Chatzi Nezek Tzroros? We'll say, take a look at the second wide line in Rashi. Rashi says, Chatzi Nezek Tzroros, second wide line in Rashi, Behema, Shahaisa Mahalechas Baderech, Vahaisa Tzroros Minasin Mitachas Ragnaha, Vishibra Esakelim, Mishalem Es Chatzi Nezek. We'll say, remember this case? An animal is walking on the road. And what happens? It kicks up pebbles. Those pebbles go, and those pebbles break a utensil. So we'll say, so what's the halacha? The animal, the owner of the animal, only has to pay chatzi nezek in that case. Va'af api she'in ze shinui d'ha orcha b'hachi. And even though again, I will say this is what's called a normative case of damages. V'havya tolda d'regel v'lav tolda d'keren tamah. We'll say this would be a case of a told of the regal. This is regal. We'll say, remember, again, regal is any damages that an animal performs derech ilucha. In normal, bless you, normal course of events. V'havile l'shalom e'nezek shalim. Halacha l'moshe misinai l'chatzi nezek. V'ahu chatzi nezek mamonohu. The halav told the Karenu. Rabbi say, so amazingly enough, remember, when we speak about chatzi nezek normally is the amount of money you pay for what we call Karen Tama. Karen is any time that an animal damages through what we call aggressive behavior. So the first couple of times that the animal does that type of damage, only chay for chatzi nezek. That's a knas. However, again, there is chatzi nezek de tzoros, which Rabbi say means if an animal is walking, kicks up pebbles, the pebbles go and, let's say, smash utensil. The animal only has, the owner of the animal only has to be chatzi nezek. Now, both say, that's not a case of knas, but rather that's a halacha l'moshe misinai. So it could be that even if you normally hold that chatzi nezek is a knas, that's only in chatzi nezek of keren, but if it's chatzi nezek of regel, chatzi nezek de tzoros, that is a case ultimately of mamon, and that could be the case that the Mishnah is dealing with. To which the Gemara says, ikel ameimar b'chatzi nezek de tzoros, because we have a halach l'moshe misinai that says that is mamon. Tashma, tashlume kefel, mishum karna. So I'll say 1 second. So the Gemara says 1 second. What about tashlume kefel? So we'll say all the Gemara is trying to prove over here is that the Mishnah brings down cases of what? The Mishnah is bringing down cases of knas. So you see from the Mishnah that Shvua Sa'idos applies to cases of knas as well. What about tashlume kefel? We'll say kefel is a case of knas. To which the Gemara says, Mishum Karno. We'll say ultimately again the liability for Shvua Sa'idos in the case of Kefel. We'll say Kefel is not all Knas. Kefel has what? It's a double payment. We'll say one of those payments is what? Yeah. Is Karen. It's principal. I Tashlumi Dalad Vehe. What about the 4 and 5 time penalty answer? We'll say again, that's a Knas payment. Yes, in the Mishnah. Mishum Karno. Ultimately, we'll say in there this Karen also. Sha'anos Ishploni Upita as Biti. What about the claim? Where ultimately, again, I come up and I say to Reuven and Shimon, witnesses, you have knowledge. That lady went ahead and violated my daughter. A lady seduced my daughter. Rebbe say, again, that's a penalty payment. Mishum boshas upegam. Rebbe say, even in that payment, there's still boshas upegam. There's still ultimately, again, humiliation. Humiliation. And pegam, Rebbe say, ultimately means the affecting reputation. Rebbe say, so those ultimately, again, are not knas payments. Those are mamon payments. So my kamash malon, kula mamonehu. So we'll say, so that if that's the case, the Silgi Gemara says that's the case, then none of these cases are really knas payments, so that they are at least not fully knas payments. So then why does the Gemara have, why does Mishnah have to state all of them? In other words, what's the chiddush over here? Okay, all of these cases, Rabbi Osai, have mamon elements. If they have mamon elements, then at the end of the day, what's the chiddush? To which the Gemara says, you're right. Reisha chadak kamash malon, seifa chadak kamash malon. We'll say both the Reisha and the Seifa are each teaching us one novel idea. What are they teaching us, Rabbi Osai? So the Gemara says, excuse me, Reisha chadak kamash malon, seifa chadak kamash malon. Reisha chadak kamash malon, we'll say, what is Reisha teaching me? Dechatzi nezek tsuroros mamonum. Rabbi Osai, the point of the Reisha is to teach me that the case of tsuroros, the case of chatzin ezek tsuroros in the Mishnah, excuse me, I should say the case of chatzin ezek in the Mishnah is the case of chatzin ezek tsuroros, and the Mishnah therefore is teaching me that what? That payment is unlike other cases of chatzin ezek, and in fact that payment ultimately, again, I will say, is one of mamon. Seifa chadak kamashon, I will say, what does the Seifa come to teach me? Listen to this. Shehidlik es kedish shivyam kippur. Remember again, the last case of the Mishnah, what I will say, was the case where I come over to witnesses and I say, you have knowledge on my behalf that what? That Reuven lit my field on fire on Yom Kippur. Right? And therefore he's chayes. We'll say, what's the chiddush over there? So lafuke, what does that come to exclude? Lafuke made Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana. We'll say, that comes to exclude the position of Nechunya, because what does Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana say? Disanya, we'll say, second to last line on Gimel Amud Aleph, Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana haya osi mekipurim kishabbos letashlumin. Mash Shabbos kulei. So we'll listen to this. Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, we'll say, used to say that Yom Kippur is like Shabbos for Tashlumin. We'll say, what does that mean? If one goes ahead and doesn't act on Shabbos, right? Let's say I go ahead, and let's say I go and I burn down Reuven's field on Shabbos. We'll say, What's the halacha? The halacha is that since I am chayiv misa for the act of lighting a fire and burning down the field, therefore what? I am potter ultimately for Tashlumin. We'll say, based on the principle of Kimle b'drabimine, that whenever you engage in one act that generates simultaneous liabilities, one of them a capital liability, one of them a monetary liability, the capital liability sets aside any monetary liability. Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana said that Yom Kippur is like Shabbos in terms of kimle b'drabimine. Therefore, according to Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, if I were to set Reuven's field on fire on Yom Kippur, again, I would be chayiv ultimately again for Misa. Rabbi say, now the novelty by Yom Kippur is what? What's the penalty for violating Yom Kippur? Rabbi say, what's the penalty? Kares. Now, normally we would say the concept of Kirim Drabine only applies to Misas Bezdin. Only applies when you're going to be executed by a human court and you have financial liability. So again, if there are two court-mandated liabilities, one for execution, one for monetary payment, the obligation, or I should say, the execution outweighs or eclipses monetary. So Rabbi Chunya ben Akana says, Yom Kippur is like Shabbos, even though there's a din of Kares, not Misa Bidei Adam. Kimon B'Dramine says, once you're Chayiv Kares, you don't have to pay. Therefore, I will say, the Mishnah comes along and tells us that what? We do not paskin like Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana. And I will say, Yom Kippur is not like Shabbos. By Shabbos, we say, Kimle b'drabimine, but we don't say that by Yom Kippur. Therefore, if I burn down Reuven's field on Yom Kippur, I will say, what's the halacha? What's the halacha? I'm chayef tashum, and I have to pay. That's why it's included in this case of Rabbi Osai. So if I say to witnesses, you, Reuven Shimon, you have knowledge that Levi burnt down my field on Yom Kippur, and they claim, we don't know what you're talking about, Rabbi Osai. They are higher for the denial of testimony. Why? Because ultimately, again, their testimony could have allowed me to collect the money from Reuven. Ah, he burnt it down on Yom Kippur. He's chayef kares. That's fine, but Kares Rabbi Osai does not trigger Kimlin b'drabimine. He's still going to be chayef to pay me money. Good. So Gemara goes by to Tashma. Mashpia Niyachav. So listen to this. Excuse me. Bashbia ani aleichem. So we'll say new case of Shuas Eivus. I literally, again, I impose an oath upon you. Imlo savo v'sayiduni, if you do not come and testify in my behalf, shahotzi ish ploni shem ra al biti. We'll say, listen to this. So in this case over here, we'll say, what's the case of motzi shem ra? A man marries a woman. A man marries a woman. And then what happens? After they get married, he shows up in Bezin and he says, she wasn't a basula. She wasn't a basula. And they both say, what is he effectively claiming when he says she wasn't a basula? He's saying, mekachtos, the marriage is void. Now by saying the marriage is void, I will say essentially what he's saying is, I'm out and no ksuva. I'm out and no ksuva. So what happens? So if it turns out that he's lying, I will say that's the concept of motzi shemra. Motzi shemra means a man defames his wife by claiming that she wasn't a basula, when in fact she really is. So what happens? I show up and I say, Reuven Shimon, both of you know testimony on my behalf. Both of you know testimony on my behalf that Levi defamed my daughter. Right? Levi defamed my daughter. Levi said that my daughter wasn't the basula, and in fact, she was. So we'll say, what's the halacha? Chayavin. Now, if the witnesses come along and say, we have no idea what you're talking about, right? We have no testimony on your behalf. They take a shvua, and it turns out that they swore falsely. They did no edus. And we'll say, what's the halacha? They're chayiv. On the other hand, Hodami Piatsmo, if Rabbi Say Levi, who is the husband, admits that he defamed my daughter, then what? Potter. He is exempted from the fine. Rabbi Say, which is, because remember again, that's Moda Biknas Potter. That's ultimately, again, if one goes in and admits a penalty payment, he will be Potter. Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Hodami Piatsmo, Bebezdin, Zesh Hotzi Shemra Bebezdin Acher Potter. So now, what is it? Now, what's that going on over here? Hamari, both say, whose opinion is this? Rabbi Elazar ben Rav Shimon, he da amar yavo idin v'yaidu. Now, both say, now what's happening over here? This is a knas case, right? This is a knas case. Remember again, Moti Shimra's knas. Both say, what did we just see over here? What did we just see over here? Both say, we just saw that shvua. Right? Don't look at Seth. Don't look at Seth to say who this guy. Right? What did we just see over here? We saw both say now. That Shvuah Sa'idus, Rabosai, applies to a case of Kinas. That's what we just saw. Now the problem just is we have an inherent contradiction. Because we just said, Rabosai, who is the one who holds that Shvuah Sa'idus applies to a Kinas? That's Rabbi Elazar ben Rav Shimon. So we'll say, listen to this. Hamani, so whose opinion is just reflected over here? That Shvuah Sa'idus applies to Kinas? Rabbi Elazar ben Rav Shimon. Domer Yavo Ignim V'Ya'idu. Here's the problem. Eima Seifa, Hodame Atzma Potter Asan Rabbanan. So we'll say, here's the problem. What did the end of that price say? The end of that price said that if the person who is the subject of the Knas goes ahead and admits his liability, then he's Potter. Now we'll say, it sounds like even if he admits when? Even after the witnesses come, right, he'll be Potter. So I'll say, or for that matter, if he admits it, and even if afterwards witnesses come, he'll still be Potter. I'll say, the problem is that what? That's not the Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. Because what does Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon say? Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon holds Rabbi Elazar that what? That if somebody admits the Knas, and subsequently witnesses show up, that ultimately, again, he's going to be Chayiv because of the presence of the witnesses. So we have an inherent contradiction. So Rabbi Elazar, whose opinion does the Braisa reflect? To which the Gemara says, you're right. So the Gemara says, Eima Seifa, hold them in Atzapat, that's on the Rabbanon. To which the Gemara says, you're right. Kula Rabbi Elazar ben Rav Shimon. Rabbi says, in reality, this entire Braisa reflects the Gemara of Rabbi Elazar ben Rav Shimon. Aye, what about the Seifa? Vachi Kamar, Lo Mashkachas Lai, Lo Hodem Epi Atzro De Potter, El Hecha De Leka Eidim Klal, Lo Hodem Eatzmo. Rabbi says, the way to read the Braisa is as follows. That if I come to witnesses and I say, witnesses, Levi was motzi shemra on my daughter. Levi claimed my daughter wasn't the basula at the time of their marriage. You, the two of you, Reuven and Shimon, you know testimony that Reuven's claim is false. Come to Bezin and testify on my behalf against Levi. The witnesses claim that what? We have no idea what you're talking about. They swear to that effect. And then Rabbi say what? It turns out that they are lying. They are chayiv. We'll say, the second part of the Braisa says, oh, and by the way, if Levi admits the fact that he lied, ultimately, again, he could pater himself. But when can he pater himself, Rabbi? I'll say, only when? only in a situation where there are no Edim who knew that he was lying. But if there are Edim who showed up in Beis Din and said that he was lying, he will be Chayiv, even if Atar Bosai, even if he had previously gone ahead and admitted the Knas. Because the concept of Moda, the Knas Potter, only applies in a situation where there are no Edim. But if he's Moda, and subsequently Edim come along and say that what? That he was Chayiv, ultimately again the Chayiv will remain intact. So we'll say, bottom line for our purposes, how do we paskin? So we'll say, so the Rambam says, this is in Perek Tes, Hilchos Shavuos, Halocha Dalid, V'chein HaMashbia Edei Knas, V'kafru. So we'll say, if I go over to witnesses, and I say, witnesses, Reuven, we'll call him Levi. Levi owes me a penalty payment. Shimon and Levi, you guys have testimony on my behalf. You know that Levi owes me money. Or that Levi owes me a knas. They claim we have no idea what you're talking about. The kafru, pitur mishvua sa'edus, mipnei shim kadam hanitva v'hode beknas yipater milashalim. Namely, that since when it comes to Knas, Moda Beknas Potter, therefore again, the fact that the witnesses denied their knowledge, I will say, that does not deprive me of money. Why not? Because I will say, the claimant could have also admitted the claim, that would have also denied me the money. Therefore, again, I will say, when it comes to claims of knas, if witnesses deny their knowledge, that is not considered as if they lied regarding a shvuah seidah. So I will say, in effect, the Rambam paskins is like the Rabbanon, not like Rebbe Lozer. Okay, good. Says the Mishnah. Well, says Gavaiter. Mashpia ni aleichem. We'll say now we get to some really interesting, riveting cases here. Mashpia ni aleichem. We'll say here we go. So I go to witnesses. I say, witnesses. I adjure you, right? I go ahead and I impose a shvu upon you. Emlo savo b'sa'idu sha'ani kohen. Sha'ani levi. So these are interesting cases. In these cases over here, I am saying that witnesses, you know, testimony for me. But Rebbe said, this is not really regarding monetary matters. This is status matters. Reuven Shimon, you know that I am really a Kohen. You know that I am really a Levi. Or, let's say, Rebbe said, I am already a Kohen. But, again, you know that I am not a Ben Grusha. Or that I am not a Ben Chalutza. Rebbe says, that's category number one. Category number two, She'ish Ploni Kohen. Rebbe said, category number two is, I go over to Reuven and Shimon, the witnesses, and I say, you know testimony regarding someone else. You know that Ploni is a Kohen, or Sheish Ploni Levi, or that Ploni is a Levi. She'eno ben Grusha, v'she'eno ben Chalutza, or that Ploni is not a ben Grusha, Ploni is not a ben Chalutza. Then we'll say, so, okay, you have two different categories. Category one, I will say, is I'm claiming that Reuven and Shimon know testimony about my status. Then we'll say, is this financial eidos? No, although it can have a financial impact, but that's not the point over here. He's claiming over here that's what? That Lemaisa, again, Lemaisa, you know testimony about my status. Category number two is, you know testimony about someone else's status. Or, category number three, Sha'anas Ishploni Esbito, Upita Esbito, Vishrabosai. Category number three is, you, Reuven and Shimon, know testimony that will call him Levi. Levi violated someone else's daughter, right? Or that Levi went ahead and seduced someone else's daughter. Vishachava bibni, or you know information that my son went ahead and injured me, right? My son went ahead and hurt me. And I will say, now we'll see, by the way, in this case over here, Rashi says, Shechava bibni means chabala shihi chabula. I will say, this would be the case ultimately again, where there would be a chi of misa. We'll discuss this. Or Shehidlik Gedishi Bishabis. Or Rabbi say again, I go over to Reuven and Shimon and I say, Reuven Shimon, you know testimony that ultimately again, that Levi lit my field on fire on Shabbos. Rabbi say in all of these cases, Peturin. Rabbi say ultimately again, in all of these cases, ultimately again, the Edim. So we'll say in all of these cases, the witnesses swore that they have no testimony, they have no information regarding these matters. It turns out that what? That they're lying. And we'll say, what's the halacha? They are potter. Now we'll say, we will see why there's what they're potter for different reasons over here. If you look at Rashi, actually, for just a moment, Rashi says, first of all, if you look in the middle of the Mishnayis, and Rashi in the middle of the Mishnayis, Peturin, Deba'inon, Shishmu, Mi'apiatavet. So we'll see, the common denominator in all of these cases is that they are potter, but for different reasons. So I'll just tell you a little bit of this outside. In the initial cases of the Mishnah, where I'm going over to witnesses, and I say, witnesses, Reuven, Shimon, you know that I am a Kohen. Swear to that effect. They say, we have no idea what you're talking about. Now it turns out, they really do know that I'm a Kohen. They're not chayef for that, why Rabbi Osei, because we will see that one is only chayef for Shvuah Sa'idus when Rabbi Osei, when there is a denial about Mamo. That's number one. Number two, category number two, is where I come up to Reuven and Shimon and say, Reuven and Shimon, you know testimony about a third party. They deny it. It turns out they do know testimony about the third party. Why they partner in that case? I will say why. Because at the end of the day, one is only chayef for a denial of edus if ultimately, again, they are being petitioned by the person whom the edus directly impacts. But if they are being petitioned by a third party, that's not shvuas edus. And the Bosei will see the third category of things, ultimately, again, are cases of kimlein b'derabamine. My son caused me a chabura. Someone went ahead and lit my field on fire on Shabbos. The Bosei say these are the cases, ultimately, again, these are not monetary cases because these are cases where there is a chi of Nisa. Therefore, the witnesses will be patur for shvuas edus eski. So we'll see all of them in the Gemara. Look at the Gemara. Taima. The ish ploni coming, the ish ploni levi. Hamani la ploni niya ploni chayoven. Now, Bosei, it seems like the reason ultimately, again, in the first part of the Mishnah, why the witnesses are pater, is because I'm coming over to Reuven and Shimon. I say, Reuven Shimon, you know testimony that what? That we'll call him Levi. Levi is a Kohen, right? That Levi's a Levi. So I'll say, so what does the Mishnah say? So the Mishnah says, the witnesses say, we have no idea what you're talking about. But it turns out that they're lying, that they really do, that they really do. So we'll say the reason that the Edom are Pater is because I am petitioning them to testify regarding matters of status. But if I came over to them and I say, witnesses, you know that what? That Levi really owes Yehuda a mana, and the witnesses denied it, that they would be chayv in that case. But one second. Hakatani Seifa at Yishmu mi Piatoveya. Rabbi, the second part of the Mishnah says that witnesses can never be chayiv for a claim about someone else. The only time they're chayiv is when the person making them take the shvuah is the one himself who is owed the money. Amar shua v'baba arsho. Shmuel says, oh, what's the case, Rabbi Osei? The case is where I come over to Levi and to Shimon. I come over to Reuven and to Shimon, and I say, Reuven and Shimon, you know testimony on my behalf. I should say differently. You know testimony on behalf of, you know testimony on behalf of Levi. And I am here representing Levi. Rabbi Osei, Hasha means I'm Levi's lawyer. Rabbi Osei, Hasha means he has empowered me to collect this debt on his behalf. I, Varmi Nardoi, Lo Kasvina Orkis Samatalpli, but the Nardoim said that what? That we don't go ahead and write in Orkis. Rabbi Osei, Orkis says the Shtar Harsha. We don't go ahead and write the Shtar Harsha on Metalpilin, on movable property. Rabbi Osei, now look at Rashi just a moment. Rashi says over here. Rashi says, Orkisa, actually, Metalpili, Lefi She'inu Be'en. So we'll say, Ashtar Harsha says as follows. Ashtar Harsha says that I hereby empower Ploni to collect this item on my behalf. We'll say, so Ashtar Harsha goes ahead and attests to a fact. Reuven owes me money. I hereby empower another party to collect that money. You can only write the Shtar Harsha, Rabbi Osei, if the money in question is, or if the money being discussed is not in question. In these cases over here, Rabbi Osei, the metaltalin are in question. Therefore, you can't write a Shtar Harsha about it. The kafre. That is true, Rabbi Osei, when the party who supposedly owes the money denies the claim. Avalo kafre. Rabbi Osei, if there has not been a denial of the claim, then ultimately, again, kasvina. Fine. Tan Rabbanah. So we'll say, now let's go back and drill down to the basics. Minayin she'in hakosav medaber ela b'tfias mamon. So we'll say, what our Mishnah is working off an assumption. What's the assumption? The assumption is, we'll say, that Shvuah Sa'idus only applies to mamon. Only applies to mamon. So we'll say, so if I go over to witnesses, and I say to witnesses, Reuven Shimon, you know that Levi owes me money. That's and what happens? Reuven and Shimon say what? Rabbi Osei, what do they say? No idea what she's talking about. No idea. And they swear to that effect. And then it turns out that they're lying. They do no testimony on my behalf. They're both saying, that is the case of Shvua Sa'idus. Right? So there has to be a Kfiras Mamon. About, the Gemara says, where do we know that from? So where is that known from? Because we'll say, again, it turns out that if I go over to Reuven and Shimon and say, Reuven and Shimon, you know that I'm really a Kohen, and the Gabbai won't give me Rishon, and the other Kohanim won't let me go up in Duchin, so you need to testify on my behalf that I'm a Kohen, and the witnesses say what? The witnesses say, we don't know what you're talking about. And it turns out the Rebbe said, let's say they do. Right? They knew my father, they knew my grandfather, they knew my grandfather, and they know that I'm a Kohen. Well, I said, there's no chiv in that case. So you see over here that the din of Shavua Sa'idos is only a din in Mammon. Where do we know that from? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Lazar Omer, Ne'emar Kan O'in, V'ne'emar Lahalan O'in. Rebbe said, what's O'in? So if you look at, if you have the Torah, or if you have the Pesuk in your Gemara, you can see what the Gemara points out of here, Rabbi says, is it uses the word O repeatedly in the context of Shavuos Ha'idus. So remember again, it says, V'nefesh, ki secheta, v'shama kol ola, v'hu eit, o ra'a, o yada. Right? So Rabbi says, it says the word O twice in the context of Shavuos Ha'idus. That's O'in. O'in. Right? Not the name O'in. Right? But again, O'in. Right? It says O twice. V'nemar lahalon, and Abosa, it says later on, by Shvuas HaPikadon. Abosa, Shvuas HaPikadon is the case of where I deposited something with someone, I come to get it back, they claim they don't have it, I could force them to take a Shvua that they don't have the Shvuas HaPikadon. Abosa, so that's V'nemar lahalon, Owen. And it says, O twice, by Shvuas HaPikadon. So we'll say, just like later on, ultimately again, it's talking about what? It's talking about mamon. So we'll say, just like the Owen, by Shavuos HaPikadon, it's talking about a monetary claim. So to us, it's almost like we make a Gzer Shava, we say the Owen, by what? By Shavuos HaEidos, are also only what? Only talking about Tvias Mamon. Afkan Eino Medaber Elibet Tvias Mamon. To which the Gemara says, one second. Oin Dirotzeach Yochichu. We'll say, but one second, you also have the word O twice by Rotzeach. Right? We'll say by the murderer. Now, we'll say, so this says the Gemara. So, I'm sorry. Oin Dirotzeach Yochichu. Shehein Oin. We'll say, you have the word O twice. Umidvare Umidabn Shlobet Tvias Mamon. And we'll say, obviously, in the case of Rotzeach, it has nothing to do with what? It has nothing to do with a monetary claim. To which the Gemara says, you're right. Gunin Owen Shiesh Iman Shavua. May Owen Shiesh Iman Shavua. The Rebbe said, because we only darshan like Owens. We're only going to link Owens that talk about Shavua with Owens that link about talk about Shavua. But not O'ins that don't talk about Shavua. So we'll say, the O's. It's so much easier just to say O's. Right? The O's by Shavuas Ha'edus and the O's by Shavuas HaPikadon both talk about Shavuas, both talk about oaths. But ultimately, again, the O's by Rotzeach Va'al Yochichu, O'in D'Rotzeach, Sheniman Shavua. Okay, he says, well, I'll bring you another case of O's, of O'in. Watch this. O'in desota yochihu. Ooh. Well, say, there is another case of O'in. What other case of multiple O's? What's the other case of multiple O's, Rabbi Osai? Desota. And Rabbi Osai, now watch this. Sota does have what? Sota does have what? Sota does have shavuos. Right? Sota does have oaths. Remember again, Rabbi Osai, part of the sota process is that the sota has to take a shavua. So Rabbi Osai, yet over here, it has nothing to do with what? Money. Right, the sota has nothing to do with money, it has to do with Isser. See, so says the Gemara, Owen, the sota yokichu, Shehein Owen, the two O's, the Yesh Iman Shavua, and Rabbi says it has a Shavua with it, Umedabrin Shaloba Tiyas Mamon. And Rabbi says what? There is no monetary claim ultimately over here. Right, there is no monetary claim in this case. Through which the Gemara says, you're right, but Donin Owen, Sheesh Iman Shavua, the Ein Iman Kohen. So we'll say, but however, again, we will link the cases of Osai that have the double O's, that have two O's, they have two O's, the Ein Iman Kohen. And I will say again, there is no mention of a Kohen. May O'in Shiesh Imahen Shvuah, Ve'ein imahen kohen. And they both say, ultimately, again, we're not going to link it to Sota, because Sota, ultimately, again, both say, stop texting, talking back and forth to each other. Right, so ultimately, again, so they'll say, so now what happens? So now we link the case of Oz, and we'll say where there is a monetary claim, but no coin. So we'll say, see, Sota has a shvua, but it also has a coin. And coin is an indispensable part of the shvua process. So we'll say, ultimately, says the Gemara, listen to this, sorry. So, Owen the Soti, okay, Husheish Owen, Vieshman Shvua, Umidabrim, Shobatias Mamon, Tush Gemara says, Dunin Owen Sheish Iman Shvua, the Eni Man Kohen. So, I'll say, we ultimately will darshan Owen that have a Shvua, but don't have a Kohen. We'll say, what are the two Owens? What are the Owen cases that have a Shvua without a Kohen? We'll say, that Shvua Saidus, Shvua Sapikadon. May Owen Sheish Iman Shvua, the Eni Man Kohen. Vayochichu Owen Durotseach, Sheini Man Shvua, Aval Yochi, right? Sheini Man Shvua. Vayochichu Owen Desota Shabri Sheish Iman Shvua, Yeish Iman Kohen. So, I'll say, so in other words, what the Gemara essentially says as follows. You could find a lot of cases where there are multiple O's, what the Gemara calls Owen. But there are only two cases that are both said that are exactly similar. The cases of Shvuas HaPikadon and Shvuas HaEdus are both said are both cases of Shvuos, as opposed to the cases of Rotzeach, which Shabbos has multiple O's, but it's not what? But it's not a case of Shavua, or the case of Sota, which is a Shavua, but what, Shabbos, but requires the presence of a Kohen. Therefore, again, they are the outliers. Therefore, all we're left with is Shavua Sapikadon, Shavua Sa'idus. Shabbos, what's therefore, once they both have Owen, the Gzir Shav essentially teaches us that what? Just like Shavua Sapikadon, Shabbos is talking about a denial of Mamon, so too, again, when it comes to Shavua Sa'idus. The only time you'll be high for Shavua Sa'idus, Shabbos, is when there is a denial of Mamon as well. Beautiful. So we'll say, Rabbi Eliezer therefore says, the way we learn that Shvua Sa'idus, you're only chayiv, only if what, Rabbi Eliezer, only if there is a denial of Mamon, is how, Rabbi Eliezer? One word. If you only have to remember one word, which is what? One word. Owen. That's all you have to remember. Owen, right? As long as you remember Owen, that's Gzir Shavar, Rabbi Eliezer, ultimately again, from Shvua Sa'idus, there's Shvua Sapikadon, which teaches us that just as Shvua Sapikadon is a denial of a monetary claim, so too one is only chayiv ultimately for Shvua Sa'idus for denial of a monetary claim as well. Rabbi Kiva says, it was a little bit different. Let's just do a few more lines. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Vaya ki yasham la'achas me'ila. So I'll say, so the Pasuk says, Vaya ki yasham la'achas me'ila. And it will be if he will be guilty for one of these things. Yesh me'ila shu chayiv, v'yesh me'ila shu pater. Both say there is one of these things for which he is chayiv, and one of these things for which he is pater. Hakit, so both say, so what does that mean? What that means is as follows. There are cases ultimately again of shvuas sa'idus for which you are chayiv, and there are cases of shvuas sa'idus for which you are pater. Both say, how so? Says Gemara, hakit, so tavu mamon chayiv, davar achar pater. If he goes ahead, both say, if the claim for testimony is regarding Mamon, and the witnesses deny that claim, they'll be chayiv. But ultimately, again, if the claim is for something else, then halacha l'maisa, they will be pater. I'll say one more line. Rabbi Yosef Lili Omer, Harehu Omer, V'hu Eid Ora Oyada. So I'll say, going back to the original pasuk, which had the multiple O's, and he is a witness, and he saw and he knew. I'll say, listen to this. Be'edus ha-miskayemes b'ri'iyah b'lo yediyah. This is amazing. One is only chayav for Shvuas Sa'idus. If what? If it's the type of testimony that can be accomplished, that is upheld, watch this, b'ri'iyah b'lo yediyah, with sight, but yet means seeing it, but without knowledge, or b'yediyah b'lo ri'iyah, with knowledge, but without seeing it. We'll say now, what are these cases? B'ri'iyah b'lo yediyah case. So I will say, what is the case of witnesses who could see the event, but not necessarily have knowledge about the event? Kate, so I will say, what's the case? Mana manisi lecha bifnei ploni uploni. So what happens? I say to Reuven, I lent you money in the presence of ploni and ploni. Yavo ploni uploni via idu. So I will say, let ploni and ploni come along and testify about this. I will say, what is that a case? Hi re'ia below yidia. Rabbi said that could be a case of ultimately of what? Of seeing something without knowledge. Now, Rabbi said the two witnesses could what? They could see the fact that I gave the mana to Ploni. What don't they know? What don't they know? They don't know the context in which it was given. Was it a loan? Was it a pikadon? Was it repayment for a loan that I took from Ploni? Was it a matana? So we'll say that's a case of ri'ya below yediyah. So I saw what happened, but I have absolutely no knowledge about the circumstances. We'll say, is that so ri'ya below yediyah? Yediyah below ri'ya kate. So we'll say, what's the case of yediyah below ri'ya? So the Gemara says, mana hodisa libifnei Ploni or Ploni. So what happens? So I say to Ruvain, you admitted that you owed me money in front of Ploni and Ploni. You admitted that you owed me a mana. Yavo Ploni or Ploni via Idu. Ultimately, again, let Ploni and Ploni come and give testimony. Zoi Yedia below Re'ia. So we'll say, again, that's the case where Ploni and Ploni could say, yeah, we heard it, meaning we heard it, we know it, but at the end of the day, we never saw anything that happened. We never saw that you originally gave Ploni money. Perhaps subsequently, Ploni gave it back to you. So we heard, we know that the Hodah took place, but we don't have anything else. So we'll say, we'll stop over here, but again, just understand what we're ending off with. So first of all, two pieces of important, well, one piece of important halakha l'maisa. So more halakha l'maisa is that the Rambam Paskins, like the Rabbanon, the Rabbos say when it comes to Shvuah Sa'idus, if one denies, if Edim deny knowledge about a Knas claim, so we'll say ultimately again they are not in violation of Shvuah Sa'idus, because Shvuah Sa'idus only applies to ultimately cases of Mamon, not cases of Knas. That's number one. Working backwards a little bit, this last Mishnah now spoke about what this concept that Shvuah Sa'idus, the Rabban Paskin, that only applies to Mamon, not Knas. Now the Gemara is kind of going back and saying, what cases does Shvuah Sa'idus apply to? So we've established that Shvuah Sa'idus only applies to Mamon. To Mamon. Now, both say, remember, the Mishnah introduced to us a variety of different ideas, which we'll get into in tomorrow's daf. But for our purposes, the Gemara picks up on this piece that Shvuah Sa'idus, when Edim deny that they have knowledge, liability only comes about if they deny Mamon, if they deny a monetary claim. Where do we know that from? So we'll say, so far again, we have three different opinions. So we ended off with Rabbi Yosef Lili, who will pick up with more tomorrow. We saw Rabbi Akiva, Vahaya Kiyashom La'akas Me'ila, and perhaps most dominant, ultimately again, which we'll see this other Rambam Baskins, like Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer Darshan's Rosemar was the one word I asked you to remember. One word? Good. Owen. Right? It all comes about the drushas, about the Owen, the Gzeir Shava. Ultimately, again, between Shvuas HaPikadon, Shvuas HaIdus, just as Shvuas HaPikadon ultimately is a din in Mammon, so too Shvuas HaIdus is only a din in Mammon, and the Bosse will continue here tomorrow. In just a few moments, Patrick Hellman is going to be giving the shir, an interesting shir again on the topic of Tzara'as, the visual realities of Tzara'as, that is going to begin literally in just a few moments right here. Shkoyach.